Chapter 23. It felt so good now that the proverbial cat was out of the bag, and I made sure to lock eyes with both of my wives in the crowd after I made the pronouncement to the room at large.
What?
The red panda man ogled me with the most idiotic look on his fat fucking face, and I could only grin a serrated smile at him as the rust on his brain gears tried to grind out this sudden turn of events. He'd really be doing me a favor if he would just drop dead from an aneurysm from trying to think too hard, but I doubted I would be so lucky.
"Don't think too much there, Lerman," Horace remarked, as he took his place by my side. "You might catch the top of your head on fire, and then where would you be?"
"What happened to Krev?"
the panda man growled. "Does it matter?" I said, and then shook my arms out as I bounced lightly on the balls of my feet.
"All you need to know is that I killed him just like I'm going to kill you."
"Rawr!"
the imbecile roared and actually stamped his feet.
"You tricked me! The duel is off! Men, get them!"
Horace and I simply shared a good laugh between the two of us as we watched both the rogue and the pirate captain glance around at the nearly empty ballroom. Most everyone who'd ingested the special gravy had absconded to try and find a suitable tree to shit their brains out behind.
"Where is everyone?"
Lerman shouted, and turned around in a complete circle before he shot a glare at the rogue.
"How is this something you missed?"
I don't know. I was...
Aiken stammered, and based on the shock plastered on his face, it was clear he was not used to not knowing about something before it happened. None of that mattered, however, because Horace couldn't contain himself anymore and tackled the rogue with a mighty yell. From that point on, the dark hells opened up, and it was on like Donkey Kong.
"Rah!"
Lerman bellowed again. And this time it was me who was being rushed by a furious attacker. But I danced easily out of the man's way. He was large and rather drunk, and even though he was throwing sloppy haymakers, I could tell there was enough power behind them to be wary of. Even a broken clock was right twice a day. And if I let my ego get to my head, there was a chance I could accidentally step in the way of one of his humdingers. Then it would be lights out. Probably permanently. I leapt back when the man tried to barrel into me, and his broad back made the perfect springboard, so I took a page out of Zoe's book and vaulted over him. This just made the fucker more angry, and when he whirled around, I had to block one of his meaty fists from connecting with the side of my head. When I shunted his fist aside, I wasn't quick enough to avoid it glancing off my shoulder, and aside from feeling like Thor's hammer had just smashed into me, the clumsy blow also knocked me off of my feet.
"Vile pissant!"
the red panda man roared and tried to curb stomp me after I fell. I rolled rapidly away and used a twisting motion to sort of helicopter my legs into launching me upright. In the process, I also managed to whack the guy in his crappy hip, which caused him to fall to one knee and gave me the split second I needed to get back to my feet and line up a beautiful kick straight to the man's jaw.
"Ah!"
Lerman shouted and then fell back like a fucking oak tree. And I planted my foot in the middle of the man's chest and took a moment to check in on how Horace's duel was going.
"All right, H,"
I called out as I thumped the panda man in the chest with my heel.
"Yeah,"
the falcon man called back from his position under the rogue, who was trying his hardest to slit Horace's throat.
"Die,"
Aiken screamed. But his arms were skinny, twig-like things, and it wasn't a surprise when Horace was able to easily kick him up and over.
"Ow!"
I gasped when the pirate captain pinched me on either side of my Achilles tendon until I was forced to stumble back.
"You will regret this day, Brightwood,"
the panda man said as he pulled himself up to standing. Then, in a maneuver I found both impressive and surprising, Lerman snatched a tankard up from one of the tables nearby and flung it square at my face. Because it was a tankard made from the antler of some large creature, it honestly did some damage, and I found myself flat on my back again and covered in sticky mead.
"There will be no trace of you once I am done,"
he breathed into my face. And his breath was so bad my eyes watered, and I felt a gag forming in the back of my throat. However, I didn't have to worry about tossing my cookies, because the panda man had one meaty fist clamped over my throat and was slowly cutting off my oxygen. My heart beat, and I felt the cover over the well of my power fly off as my time trance power surged forward. Tick. My current strangulation slowed, and I was able to adjust a little so the man was leaning most of his considerable weight on the leg with the bad hip. Tick. I forcefully bent one of his fingers all the way back and slipped out from underneath the bastard. Tick. I slowed my surroundings down even more so I could then appear behind the fucker and get him in a submission hold. The guy was too big to knock out with a simple snap kick, so I needed to take him out with an effective rear naked choke. That way, I could end this with the satisfaction of taking his life with my bare hands. Snap! I released the time trance with little to no discomfort from the retraction, and I had half a second to appreciate the fact that wielding my power was now something that came with relative ease, unlike how it used to be before.
How?
Lerman tried to ask when he suddenly found himself bound in my deadly hold. But I exerted the pressure across his throat, so he was forced to stop talking.
A more important question would be why, I corrected,
and then tightened my hold.
And the answer is because you fucked with what is mine.
The pirate captain gurgled, and then went still when I ceased to remove the pressure from his carotid. And after enough time had passed, I knew the miserable fuck was dead.
Horace!
Shay's frightened voice screamed out, and I instantly went on high alert. My head snapped up, and just as Lerman's body began to get heavy with his dead weight, I saw Rogue Aiken fling his dagger directly at Horace's heart. The aim was true, and both the Falcon Man and I were too slow to do anything about it.
No!
I yelled, right as the tip of the dagger entered the Falcon Man's heart. And just like before, when I was worried Jenner might explode himself, my time trance powers rushed out of me so fast the world around me started to slow. Time stop. The tableau before me, in which my best friend currently had half of a dagger in his chest, was frozen like a painting. And even though my limbs felt heavy and weighed down, I forced myself to move through the powerful current to Horace's side. When I saw what I was working with, I realized with sinking dread that a time stop wasn't going to make much of a difference because the Falcon Man would be dead before he even hit the ground. No. What he needed was for time to go backwards, to before the rogue even threw the dagger. Aventol without Horace was a place I did not want to be. So with all of the will and conviction I had, I dug down deep into my bones and wrapped my hand around the dagger's handle. The dagger itself was what needed to rewind. So I focused my powers on the object while I left the rest of the world paused around me. I screamed when the blade actually started to back out of the man's chest. And with everything I had, I opened up all of my senses to let the incredible power flow free. Tick. My heartbeat thudded inside my chest, like a hammer on an anvil, and I pulled harder. Tick. The dagger came free, and the light that the blade extinguished from my friend's gold-green eyes returned. Tick. The dagger was now all the way out, and as shiny as the day it was forged. But I did not want to stop there. Tick. The rogue who was responsible for this still needed to pay. So I summoned what I had left and walked that dagger back step by step until it was positioned behind the man who'd thrown it. Finally, I was able to let the dagger go so it stayed stuck in the air where I'd put it. And I could even see it vibrating with all of the energy still behind it from when it was thrown the first time. Tip. Snap. The retraction that snapped back all around me when I released the time rewind hit me hard, and I fell to both knees once reality resumed. It was almost like because the last couple of times were easy going, the time trance was trying to make up for lost time by blasting me with a double-barrel shotgun. But seeing how the newly positioned dagger came flying at the man who ostensibly just threw the thing was priceless. the rogue screamed, as the dagger embedded itself in the meat of his shoulder. Horace didn't waste a second and tackled the man right after that, and I barely had the mind to crawl out of the way when the two men wrestled in an outright brawl.
"Get him, Horace!"
Shay yelled after she'd made her way over to me.
"Bastard!"
the falcon man bellowed and ripped the man's dagger out of his shoulder, which caused the rogue to shriek to the rafters. Then, in a move too quick to track with the naked eye, Horace spun the blade around and plunged it into the fucker's heart. A large implosion sounded as the rogue's body suddenly crumbled to dust, like he'd truly been a walking skeleton. But now that there was no consciousness left to animate it, it was now just a pile of skin and bones.
"I thought for a moment,"
Shay said after a beat of silence settled over the deserted ballroom. The Falcon Man finally tore his gaze away from the lifeless rogue and then turned to his sister.
"Yeah, for a moment it felt like..."
His gold-green eyes landed on mine as he rubbed his breastbone like he was remembering the sensation of the blade slicing into his own chest.
"But you're not, and that's all that matters," I grunted out.
"Husband?"
Zoe asked as she approached with trepidation.
Is the charade truly over?"
"Yes," I nodded. And then I had both of my wives in my arms as they hugged me tightly. "And I am so sorry for how I had to act this whole time. You know it was all just for show, right? Shay?" My phoenix wife was worryingly silent as I held her. And I honestly wished I could use the time rewind to go back before any of this and find another way that didn't have me reminding her of her cruel first husband. But just when my mind hit its peak of regret, Shay leaned back and gazed at me with her beautiful emerald eyes.
"You scared me, Alex,"
she admitted in a small voice. "I know," I said, and I cupped her heart-shaped face. "And if there had been another way, I would have told you. I'm sorry."
"I understand why you did what you did,"
she settled on after another tense moment in which she allowed herself to come to terms with all that had happened. I was impressed because I wasn't even sure if I was there yet, and I had planned the whole debacle. "I hated every moment of it," I croaked out in a hoarse voice. "Every single second." Then my wives were the ones who were comforting me like I wasn't the one who'd been treating everyone like a bona fide asshole supreme. And because of their compassion, I actually felt a tear or two of my own leaking out.
"I'm so glad you're you,"
Shay whispered in my ear, and I could do nothing but shudder and squeeze her tighter.
"Horace?"
Anwar's confused voice sounded, and my wives and I broke apart our group hug so we could see what was happening. Amaya still had the insensate ibex woman splayed out across her lap. But this time, instead of looking close to death, some color had returned to her cheeks, and she was moving around in her sleep like she was having a nightmare. When she called out the Falcon Man's name, for the second time, Horace was at her side a second later.
"I'm here, Ani," he murmured, as he caressed her face, and instantly she calmed down.
"She'll need some more sleep, but she's going to be fine,"
Amaya announced as she retracted the glowing hand she had against her sister's brow. Then she helped transfer the slumbering mage over to the Falcon Man's sure hold. "And what about you?" I asked, and then got to my feet with the help of Shay and Zoe. "Are you all right, Ames?" The moment I asked her this, it was like the dam of her strength broke, and she rushed toward my open arms.
"Oh, Alex, I was so worried,"
she sobbed, and I enveloped her into my embrace where she belonged. "We're all here now," I soothed, and Zoe and Shay crowded around us to complete the circuit. It was true that our family was expanding, but right here and now, we all could have been the only ones in the multiverse. All that mattered was the fact we were all as I said we were, here and now. And no matter what craziness came next, I knew I could always find my home right where I was. "Ames," I whispered, as I pulled out the decorative cuff Ozzy had made out of the worm scale. Then with one hand, I held the Oryx woman's in mine and reverently slipped the cuff up her arm. "I know we still have a few things to figure out, but
I wanted you to know that, for all intents and purposes, you are my wife. Our wife. I added the last part to include Zoe and Shay, and the two of them nodded and held the Oryx woman closer.
It's true,
Zoe said.
We've been lost without our third.
Shay agreed with a grave nod of her own, and Amaya's tears finally gave up the ghost and tracked down her face.
I love you,
she said, as she gazed down at her new accessory.
I love all of you so much.
And as I embraced all three of my wives once more, nothing else mattered. Not status, nor riches, nor any amount of power. All that really existed was this feeling right here in real time. And if I focused on that, I knew the rest would all come later. All in due time. End of Book 8.